Glad to see you today, everybody, on this holiday weekend. Welcome to the First Colony Church of Christ, and hope that your weekend is going well. I appreciate you making Sunday worship a priority to you today. I'd like to share a message today called just what all strong believers, a piece of information that all strong believers have in common. It's a life skill, it's a practice, and it's something that they either know from Scripture, and therefore it's part of their life, or just intuitively. It's something that, you know, they picked up on, it was drilled into them when they were younger, and it's a principle that they know. And it comes from just the world of botany. It's just a basic gardening principle. How many of you like gardens? Anybody here like gardens? I really love gardens. I hate and despise gardening, but I like my wife and I, we've been married 30 years, and I can still recall about over 30 years ago, you know, we're engaged, and Martha's talking, and she loves gardening. Now, she's got a bad back now, so she can't do much of that, but She used to love gardening, and she would say, "Oh, honey, I can't wait till we get married, and someday we'll have just a nice little house, and we'll just spend, you know, a Saturday morning out together working in our garden. Won't that be fun?" No. No, that just will not be fun at all. That is just not appealing in the least. Well, here's a principle. Let me just put it up on the screen that all believers... something that just every believer has in common, and that is that they understand the process between planting and harvesting. They just know that. Here's the way the Bible records it, and today we're in a section of Scripture from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, which talks to us about the quality of our spiritual life, okay? And so it's a very simple, short passage of Scripture, Galatians 6, starting here, verse 7, he says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked." Now, I may think that I can do this. You may think that you can mock God. You can mock me. You can mock churches. You can mock lots of people. God cannot be mocked. He's never been mocked. You're not going to be the first. God cannot be mocked, and a man reaps what he sows. In other words, I can still hear my mom and dad saying it to me when I was a kid. "Son, you're going to get out of something whatever you put into it." Choices have consequences. Decisions have consequences and results. You're going to get out of something what you put into it. Now, often, as believers, we tend to think, a lot of folks, especially when they come to Christ, they tend to think that that forgiveness means that all consequences get erased. That's not true. Even under grace, your choices have some consequences and implications and results. For example, let's say that I'd been married 30 years, but for 30 years, I have verbally and emotionally worn my wife down and verbally and emotionally been abusive. But today I become a Christian. And today I am redeemed and saved by grace. And today my soul is clean. I am in Christ. I am forgiven. I'm redeemed. I'm a new man in Christ. Now, does that automatically mean that when I go home today, the quality of my marriage has totally shifted? No. I'm experiencing extreme forgiveness, but there are still some consequences from my 30 years of verbal abuse. A person reaps what they sow. You harvest what you plant, and this is a principle that can work for you. It can work against you. It works even when you don't realize it, but it is there. It is a life principle. Now, here's a second thing I'd like to put up on the screen, and it's this. There's a direct correlation between the type of seed you plant and the type of crop you harvest. There's a direct correlation between the type of seed you plant and the type of crop that you harvest. You plant a pumpkin seed, you get a what? You get a pumpkin. You plant a pumpkin seed, you don't get a car. You plant a pumpkin seed, you don't get an apple tree. You plant a pumpkin seed, you get a pumpkin. There is a direct correlation between the type of seed you plant and the type of crop that you harvest. And so the Bible says it like this, Galatians 6, now verse 8. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. But the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And whenever you see that phrase, eternal life, in the Bible, it's not just talking about duration of life, but the quality of life that you have. You have a particular dimension of life. It begins now. You know, for those of you who are part of the Wednesday night routine, you know, last year a study of the Gospel of John went on, and the theme of that whole study is eternal life begins now. That's sort of the message of the Gospel of John. Eternal life can begin now. And as we, and the picture here from the book of Galatians is that, you know, I've got two sacks. And I've got one sack that's my sinful nature. And I've got another sack that is the Holy Spirit. And I can choose to plant seed from either sack, from either bushel, and it affects the quality of my life. Now, what does it mean to sow seed from the sinful nature? Don't make it overly complicated. It simply means that you're going to run your own show and you're going to leave God out of it. It means you're going to set the agenda for your life, and it can be as simple as gossiping because it makes you feel big. It can be as extreme as embezzling because it gives you more resources. It can be as complex as an affair because there's somebody other than your wife or husband who makes you feel like you've never felt or makes you feel like you haven't felt in a long time. Sowing to the Spirit, don't make it too complicated either. It simply means that instead of just living my life by my own natural self-absorbed desires, I'm going to live according to what God wants, what God wishes, what God desires. And when I get out of bounds, when I get out of step, I'll acknowledge that, I'll confess it, I'll repent, I'll turn. And that's what it means to sow to the Spirit. And he says, do not be deceived. The type of seed that I plant affects the quality of my life. Let me be as clear as I know to make it. If you're married and you're engaged in sexual perversion or pornography, don't think that it's not going to affect your wife, your life, your children. It is, and you're not going to be the exception. If you're married and you think that by nagging and biting and devouring and gossiping about your spouse, that that's going to somehow lead to a fruitful, loving, joyful marriage, you are deceived. Gossip never leads to love. Nagging never leads to love. Bitterness never leads to love. You're going to wear each other out. And you'll be going, why did this happen? You've been sowing to the sinful nature day after day. And parents who think, well, I'm not going to discipline our, we just won't discipline our children. It'll all just work out. Don't be deceived. And so the picture here from the Bible is simply, as you go through life, put your hand in the wisdom of God. Put your hand in the bushel of the Holy Spirit seed and sow that. And sow love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. And as you do so, you're going to see the quality of your life be influenced and affected. All right. Third thing I like to put up on the screen is this. There is an unspecified duration of time between planting and harvesting. An unspecified duration of time between planting and harvesting. And I tell you, I love this part of this passage. It's one of my favorite parts here because everybody in this room, you get sick and tired at times of doing the right thing. And you wonder, is there ever a payoff? And here's what the Bible says, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. He says, don't get tired of doing good. But I do get tired of doing good. How can I not get tired? Answer, you just lean on the Lord. You lean on each other. You say, help me, encourage me, pray with me. That's why you get together and you praise together. That's why you get together in small groups and you lift each other up and you encourage each other, because everybody in this room, from time to time, we're going to get tired of doing the right thing. You're going to get tired of honoring your husband. You're going to get tired of honoring your boss. You're going to get tired of saying no to appealing temptations. You just will. And when you get tired, he says, don't give up. Folks, that's not our world. Let me tell you what our world is. Our world involves all kinds of husbands who say, I'm going to love my wife every day for a week. And then if it doesn't work out, I'm out of here. I'm going to read my Bible every day for a week. And then if it doesn't work out, I'll jettison God. I'm going to do the right thing for 3 straight days. And then if the world's not turning on its axis for me, I'm out of here. If things get difficult. Paul says, look, by the Holy Spirit, don't give up. Keep persevering. Hang in there. And somebody says, well, if God would just show me the finish line, I would. The reason he doesn't show you the finish line is that if I knew that the finish line was, October the 17th, I'd have my eye on October the 17th. Instead, he wants me to have my eye on him and to walk with him and to know that as I walk with him, he will be my strength and there is a payoff in due time. Folks, what you're harvesting today comes about because of what you planted in times past. And what you're planting today, you're going to see a harvest down the line. Let me illustrate for you. Some of you sow all kinds of affection and friendship and peace and love, and you pour yourself out for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you are the kind of person that when somebody faces a crippling burden, you carve out a little time, you carve out a little affection, and you distribute that to other people. You put your shoulder under their load, and you love them, and you encourage them, and you support them, and you show a little grace and kindness to other people. You don't just run into your cocoon and hide, and you show some kindness and support to others. Now, what you don't realize is that 4 years from now, 5 years from now, 6 years from now, 10 years from now, when something catastrophic happens in your life, and when there's a crippling burden that comes your way, there's going to be someone or two or three or five or others who are going to look at you and they're going to say, hey, you loved me, you helped me, you were a picture of Jesus to me, and in my moment of need, you were there, and your shoulder helped to shoulder some of my load, and you were there for me, and now I want to be here for you, and I want to be a picture of Jesus here for you. And then there are others who will face a time of heaviness, and they'll go, hey, where is everybody? You tend to reap what we sow. And so he says, don't get tired. I love what the book of Hebrews says, encouraging us not to get weary and down. It tells us to keep our eyes on Jesus. And it says in Hebrews chapter 12 these words. Let's put them up on the screen, shall we? Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The great truth of this passage we've looked at today is it can work for you. A lot of people will hear the phrase, you reap what you sow, and they think it's only in negative terms. No, it also works for you. And as you sow good seed, you reach into that sack of the fruit of the Spirit, and so that kind of seed, the quality of your life gets affected, and you receive some sort of blessing. The Lord doesn't say it always happens here, but He says you can count on the fact that if you'll not grow weary, if you'll not give up in doing good, you're going to see a harvest. By the way, sometimes that harvest comes years later. I mean, we have a Bible today in print because somebody years ago sowed some good seed. How many of us in our lifetime have been blessed immeasurably because of the influences and sacrifices that people, you know, 10 years before, 20 years before, 50 years before made for us? So this is a principle that really works for you. Now, I got to tell you, there is an exception, and I want to close with this. If you'll look at Jesus, we do not reap what we have sown in terms of the penalty for our sin. We have sown sin and death. But because of Jesus, we reap what? Love, joy, forgiveness, and eternal life. I should be separated from God, but Jesus was separated from God for me. I should have been punished, but Jesus was punished for me. I should have spiritually died, but Jesus died in my place, and He absorbed the ultimate penalty for me. And that's why we always look to Jesus, and we praise Him, and we follow Him, and we serve Him because of His great grace to us. All right. Well, that's a principle that every strong believer that you know has embraced along the way. You reap what you sow, and there is a direct correlation between the type of seed that I plant and the type of harvest that I reap. Okay? All right. Let's stand together, please, for our closing prayer and our closing song. And let me ask you to please take a look at your order of worship and your communication card. And on that communication card, there's a place where you can jot down a prayer request. And one of the things that we would love to do as the leaders in our church is pray with you over any particular request that you may have. If you would like to speak with someone here about membership in our church or about baptism, we would love to visit with you about that. And you can just check that on that card. Make sure you fill out your name and your contact information. And here in just a moment, whenever you get that finished, if you would, just pass that to the ends of the aisles. And our ushers will collect those during our closing song. All right, so if you would, bow with me. I'd like to lead us in prayer, and then we'll conclude our service with a song. Lord God, it is my prayer, first of all, that you would keep us from deception, thinking that there's no cause and effect in the world and that we can just sort of do whatever we please and sow however we desire and just take our selfish, self-consuming desires, throw them around, and somehow that's not going to have any effect in the quality of my spiritual life. Lord, would you deliver us from such mockery? Deliver us from such self-deception and open our eyes so that as we look at our days and as we use our words and as we spend our time and as we spend our money, that what we're sowing, Lord, help us to take an accurate, sober assessment of where we are and keep us from deception and mockery. And Lord, I pray for us all. I mean, there are a ton of people in this room. We've been reading our Bibles and praying and serving and loving and trying to help our brothers and sisters in Christ and trying to be a light in the world and trying to honor you. And Lord, would you keep us from weariness? Keep us from getting tired to the point of quitting. Keep us from just getting sick of it all and wanting to jettison any kind of enthusiastic faith. Lord, would you give unto us patient endurance to continue fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is not only the author, but the ultimate completer and finisher of our faith. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.